Like I said, this is a pivotal point in the beginning of the church. We have seen from the day of Pentecost till now, people are rejoicing, people are happy, people are coming together as Christians, sharing, encouraging each other, being unified. And now, last week we looked at Peter and John when they went to the temple to pray, they encountered a lame man from birth. And they healed him in the name of Jesus the Nazarene. And now they are facing persecution. Persecution that's going to continue with them throughout their lives and throughout the life of the church. There are lesson sheets for next week's class on the back, and also we'll try to send them out to you this week so that you'll have a copy, a soft copy, to work on the lesson for Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 37. So for this particular class, we're going to see that Peter and John are going to go before the Sanhedrin and be tried for what they were doing. They were arrested. They suffered abuse because they preached the resurrection. They credited Christ with the power to heal and change lives. And we see that in our lives today. It's Jesus Christ who changes us from our sinful way of life to becoming a Christian. And that's when we start our relationship with God. They proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Not any other name, but in Jesus Christ. They gave evidence that they have been with Jesus. Peter and John witnessed his death, burial, and resurrection, and also Jesus' ascension. They suffered threats from the religious court. Peter and John, they refused to compromise the message. That's an encouragement for us today. And finally, we're going to look at, in this particular lesson, result, Peter and John will let go. So last week we covered this, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and that is Peter and John, when they went to the temple, they healed the lame man. A lame man from birth was begging for alms at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. The lame man requested funds from Peter and John. And Peter's response, if you remember, to the lame man, "Look at us. I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Nazarene, walk." Powerful statement. It was done not by man, but by the name of Jesus. And this individual received his power to walk. The lame man did the following, as we observed last week. He leaped up and began to walk. He entered the temple with Peter and John. And he was walking leaping and praising God for this healing. So we see the crowd's reaction. All the people saw the lame man walking and praising God. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. They were attracted, wondering, and wanting to see what has caused such a miracle. And Peter and John did it. So as we go into this lesson, why did the religious officials approach Peter and John in the first two verses of chapter 4? Who would like to read that and respond to that?
And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you. So the answer?
They were disturbed because they were preaching Jesus.
Exactly. Very good, Di. You see, they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So we see there were priests there, and they're basically male descendants from Aaron, who were the priests, the Levitical tribe. And there were about 24 groups that rotated, each group once or twice a year. To do the service in the temple. We also see there was the captain of the guard that approached in this particular set of scriptures, and he was responsible for the administration of the temple, which meant he was held accountable for the order and disorder that took place within the temple precincts. And in scripture, the captain was called the chief officer or ruler of the house of God. And I do have some references down for you. Another group that was there was the Sadducees. They were religious and political liberals of Christ's day. They were wealthy, the aristocrat, the governing class of the leaders in Israel. Many Sadducees served on the nation's governing body, and that's the Sanhedrin. Another fact that we should remember about the Sadducees, they denied the supernatural, the resurrection and miracles, life after death, and the existence of beings in other dimensions, such as angels and spirits. To them, there was no heaven or hell, no existence whatsoever except on the earth. A man died, was annihilated, just ceased to exist. So they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they're hearing this message from Peter and John about the resurrection of Jesus. That's contrary to what they believe in. Another group we encounter are the Pharisees. And they were a sect within Judaism, a powerful religious leadership group, a political leadership group, a learned scholarly group, a lay movement in competition with the priests. They thought they were better than the Levitical priesthood. And they were a group of middle class, urban artisans, or some combination of these. So we also see that they placed great emphasis on oral tradition as well on the written Torah. And by the way, the written Torah is basically the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Now here's the difference between Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees acknowledge an afterlife, whether heaven or hell. So we see there's a sharp difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So what did the officials do to the apostles in verse 3? Who would like to read that?
They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day.
Thank you. So we see they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day. Now, if you were in the crowd, and don't forget the crowd was listening to Peter and John's message about Jesus. Peter was preaching in the last part of chapter 3 about Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and again was raised from the dead. And now a sudden disturbance came by that caused some problems. They see that these individuals seized Peter and John. And this is the beginning of persecution. This is the beginning of how people back in the first century stood up and they were persecuted for their faith. Something that doesn't affect you and I today. Go ahead, Linda.
In this particular one, they put them in jail. Do they physically, do they mean they lay their hands on the grave, or do they physically touch them, or tape them, or beat them up?
That's a good question. In this particular reading, I'll go back, they laid hands on them. What they did was they just picked them up, physically moved them around. They were like the Gestapo. Other places in the Bible we read when the apostles laid hands on people, they extended the Holy Spirit to them.
Or assistance, or in a gentle way, or like we touch people.
Yes, and in this particular case, that's what they did. They grabbed them, and they put them in jail. Good question. So we see in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19, can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Truly, truly, I tell you, if you are younger, you used to put on your belt and walk with the old church out your belt and bring you
this is a reference. Thank you very much, Matt. This is a reference to the conversation that Jesus had with Peter. If you remember in John chapter 21, preceding verses from 15 to 17, Jesus was talking to Peter, said, "Hey, Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, I do." And Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." Jesus said a second time to him, John, to Peter, "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, I do." "Then shepherd my sheep." And the third time Jesus said that to Peter, and he was a little perturbed about it. Why does the Lord want to know that, do I love him? "Yes, I do." He should know. Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He told him to tend to my sheep, shepherd my sheep, and tend to my sheep. Be responsible. And when you read 18 and 19, we see that Jesus said, "You're going to die for me, and your death's going to glorify me. Follow me." In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, I'm jumping a little bit ahead. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they have been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Again, jumping ahead to chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. This is the Paul's conversion. But the Lord said to him, talking to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, this is a reference to Saul, then Paul, as we know him today. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, but even if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear the intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So we see that the authorities, knowing the nature of man and the situation, was threatened. It put Peter and John in jail. If the people turn to this new movement, the way, the authorities feared one, the loss of people, their loyalty, recognition, and esteem. The loss of power, authority, and their livelihood. This is the governing body, the rulers, the elders, the chief priests, the Sadducees. If they lost the loyalty of the people or allowed a disturbance, the Romans would replace them with other officials. The people might begin to think that their doctrine was wrong. If they allowed the preaching of the resurrection to continue, they would be admitting that God had bypassed them and revealed truth to others. And finally, if he, that's referring to Jesus, was truly the risen Savior, the risen Son of God, then they were sinners, chief sinners, guilty of denying and rejecting God's Son. And we know that is the case because Old Testament scripture had it that Jesus was Messiah. So in spite of opposition, how did the early church fare in verse 4? Who would like to read that for me, please?
But many of those who had heard that they received from the number of men came to about.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that there were 5,000 people at this particular point added to the church. 5,000 men. We don't know about women and children. Persecution did not stop the word and the Holy Spirit from working. Souls were saved despite the abuse and opposition. Christians are to continue in their preaching and witnessing no matter the opposition. And we had seen that in the first century church. We should emulate what they did in our lives because we have God's soldiers to proclaim his message, the gospel message. After a night in jail, who did Peter and John face the next day in verses 5 through 7? Can I get a volunteer to read that for me, please?
On the next day, the elders gathered together. And Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire by what power or in what name.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. So we see that there were the rulers, elders, and scribes, and they were basically the Sadducees. They were the ruling part of Israel. And don't forget, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And now here's two individuals who are proclaiming Jesus being resurrected, going against what they believe. We also see the high priest. Annas was there. We also see Caiaphas was there. He was a former high priest. We also see a fellow named John and Alexander. Again, they were associated with the priesthood. They were there listening. We don't know anything about John or Alexander, but they were from the priestly family. Caiaphas, he was serving as high priest in the eyes of the Romans. And we could read about him in Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. And also Matthew 26, we see that they were disturbed about what was happening. How did Peter's remarks about salvation relate to the healed man, the audience, and the Old Testament passage referring to Christ in Psalms chapter 118, verse 22? Who would like to read that particular section, please, in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, please?
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you, to you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.
Thank you, Carol. This particular section of scripture shows us there Peter responding about salvation. As Carol had said in verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what he did was he let it be known to all and to the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. Going through in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For it is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So Peter shared this message with the council. We also see Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. As the writer indicates, chief cornerstone. And as Peter reiterates that, he is the stone which was rejected by you. He referring to Jesus. And you are the builders who rejected this stone, but which came, speaking to Jesus, chief cornerstone. So the psalmist spoke prophetically of the Messiah, the rejected stone, Jesus Christ, whom men despised and crucified. God's Son would rise triumphantly from the dead to become the foundation of God's new building, the church, the body, you and I, who are part of that. we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens of the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, and the whole building being fitted together as one holy temple of the Lord, and whom you also are being built together in the dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Thank you very much, Vicky. So we see that everyone has the opportunity to be part of this. And it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They shared the message with us. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses, chapter 3 verses 10 through 11. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Coming together as a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but his choice crushes the sight of God. You also as living stones, being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So we see in the Bible that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And that's what our foundation is built upon, Jesus the Christ. So Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, and there's two major factors contributed to Peter's boldness to proclaim the gospel, even in the face of resistance and persecution. And that is, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter had been with the risen Lord. He witnessed everything that was going on. And he boldly proclaimed this to others. Jesus is the head, that is, the chief cornerstone of God's building, and Jesus alone saves. He is the only means that we have salvation, and it is no other head, no other exalted Lord. So the court convened the next morning to put Peter and John on trial. God equipped Peter and John with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John credited Christ with the power to make men whole, not on their own power, but on the name of Jesus the Nazarene. And Peter declared three critical points to the council. One is, it was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth that made this man whole. It was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom you crucified. It was Jesus who God raised from the dead that made this man whole. Just think about it. If you were there and heard this, you can't deny this. And they couldn't deny it because they've seen this. So how did the authorities respond to Peter and John in verses 13 and 14? Who would like to read that for me, please? Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14.
Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who was standing, they had
trusted. Thank you. So, Faye, what did that verse say to you? Exactly. As Faith said when she read this verse, Peter and John, they were uneducated, untrained. They weren't trained in the scriptures. But the boldness and power in the name of Jesus the Nazarene caused the rulers to recognize them. They recognized that a miracle was performed. You couldn't deny that. People saw this and they witnessed this. We also see that the healed man, the lame man, was standing with Peter and John. And the authorities had nothing to say about it. Here's the guy who was healed standing with Peter and John. They knew this individual who was placed at the gate of Beautiful every day and begging for alms. Now he's walking. They couldn't deny this miracle. So after this, I think I'm messing up here. Here we go. After the Sanhedrin consulted them, what action did they take against the apostles in verses 15 through 17? Who would like to read that for me, please?
When they had ordered us to take counsel, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle is taking place to them is that they're called the Lord Jesus, and we cannot deny it. So that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. Let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this
name. Thank you, Vicky. So we see that they slapped him on the hand. Say, hey, don't speak about this. Let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. So that's the way the scripture said. And as we look at it, they just slapped him on the hand and say, don't speak about this, Jesus. They acknowledged that a miracle had been done, and this man was made whole. The consul did. And all the people knew the man had been transformed from being lame to being healed. They could not deny the miracle, even though they would have liked to. But the evidence, the lame man made whole, stood before them. So they couldn't deny it. If they did, the people would have been in an uproar. They wouldn't have respected these individuals, whom what they wanted, the council, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the priests, they wanted the recognition from the people. But they told them, Peter and John, don't speak any more about this Jesus the Christ. So what was the apostles' response to the judgment handed down by the council in verses 18 through 20? Who would like to read that for us, please? Thank you, Eileen. So Peter and John said to them, the council, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you, rather than to God, you be the judge. We are not going to listen to you. We are going to continue to preach Jesus the Christ, him crucified. They cannot stop speaking about what they have seen and heard. That's an encouragement for you and I today when we preach Jesus to others. Don't be timid about it. Don't be shy, but boldly profess Jesus the Christ and him crucified. And Christians must be obedient to God at all costs. Ron, you had a question?
We know about Caiaphas. He was a high priest,
were Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection.
Right.
And here is what these disciples would be the apostles for teaching. Something that they didn't believe in. And yet they know that if they denied it, they can't deny this guy had been healed. Wasn't a little kid, he was in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't quite a young kid, everybody knew it.
Exactly. So when we look at the trial that they are facing, Peter and John before this council, there was a conflict. The conflict was they didn't believe in what they were preaching. And we see that Peter and John witnessed the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. They were there. Peter, we know about him, very impetuous. He was willing to stand up and die for Christ when the soldiers approached him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter took out his sword and cut the ear off of one of the servants. And Jesus healed him. He said, put away the sword. This is not why I'm here. And we know that he followed Jesus when the soldiers took him away, and he denied Jesus three times, as Jesus has predicted. And as we read a little bit earlier in the class, in John, the 21st chapter, verses 15 through 19, Jesus told him, follow me, but you're going to die and glorify my name. And now persecution is starting. And Peter right now must be thinking, what is happening? Whatever my Savior said is coming true, attrition. It's here and now. That's an encouragement for you and I as Christians to go forward as Peter and John witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension. We can only tell people what our faith is and share that with others. God is to be obeyed before all men, no matter what the cost is. Christ commanded them to preach, and we see that in the Gospels, where he gave them the commission to go forward and preach the message. A man must testify to what he has seen. And they did observe the ascension of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 9. And also we could read up to verse 11, as they're gazing in the sky, this person in white came down. What are you looking at the sky? Jesus is going to return the same way he left. So why was the Sanhedrin powerless to take action against Peter and John? In verse 21, who would like to read that particular verse?
They had threatened them for
thank you, man. So what does that mean to you? They threatened them no further. Exactly. They had nothing to say to them. There was no basis to punish Peter and John. They have seen and witnessed all the people glorifying God for this miracle. And the council released Peter and John on account of the people. They didn't want to mess around with not being popular anymore. So how old was the man who had been healed? In fact, when you read chapter 3, you should tie it together with chapter 4 to find out the facts of these, of not only the trial, but the individual. Who would like to read verse 22?
for the men then 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing has been performed.
Thank you, Di. So he was over 40 years. So he was begging for a long time. And the power of Christ had taken a man who had been helpless for over 40 years and made him completely whole. And the result of witnessing was that all the people glorified God. And we have seen in a couple of verses prior that there were 5,000 souls added to the church. What was amazing about the healing that caused the controversy in verse 22? When you read that verse, we see that for the man was more than 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. So it wasn't a trick. It wasn't a prank. The council could not deny the miracle. The lame man stood before them, completely healed. And that must have been amazing to them. And it's amazing for you and I when we read that account, because the apostles did it, not on their own power, but in the name of Jesus Nazarene. They told the man to walk. Next week, we'll continue our study with the latter part of this chapter, the remaining part of this chapter, verses 23 to 37, and we'll see what the apostles did, how they reacted, and what was the outcome.